We'll be seeing an interesting meeting of the Arctic Council in Kiruna. At that point, chairmanship will pass from Sweden to Canada. How do you think that will affect the Arctic Council?
Well, this is a very interesting time for a number of reasons. And one of them, the last three chairmanships have been Scandinavian. So now we're coming back to North America. Canada has it for this 2 years, and it will be followed by the United States. But there's been some interesting, it's a very interesting time for the Arctic Council. Canada's put out its priorities, very business-oriented, development of the North for Northerners. Safe shipping is another one, and promoting sustainable communities in the North. So these are all very sort of business-centered, and some of the Northerners that I've spoken to here in Canada, they're very happy about this idea of the North being for Northerners and not just looking at it in terms of businesses from the South or big companies. But a lot of people are concerned about this focus. Climate change isn't being discussed a lot. So there's certain things, and it's quite, you know, when there's these handovers of the Arctic Council, it's sort of a tradition that the country that's taking over sort of just keeps a bit of a low profile while the current sitting chair is sort of finishing up their mandate. But it's going to be interesting sort of to see once the handover has happened how these things are going to be fleshed out and what it's going to sort of mean for people, not just in the Canadian Arctic, but all around the North.
Let's stick with the issue of climate change for a moment. It's not known to be high on the priority list of the Canadian government. So are we talking about development being put ahead of environment and climate protection?
Well, that's what we're still trying to get a read on. Because in traveling to the Arctic, and it's true in the Canadian Arctic specifically, a lot of communities, there's huge unemployment problems. There's also a sense of people sort of in these remote Inuit communities in the Canadian North that, you know, whether it's tourism or resource development, they're left out. So there is a need that they want to be involved. But the thing that comes up most is how the climate is affecting day-to-day life. A huge portion of the Inuit living in the Canadian Arctic still rely on hunting for food, just for not only their own families, but also to share within the community. So this is something a lot of people, experts both in Canada and out, are looking at and wondering why it's not higher on the agenda. And we sort of have to see once the handover has happened, how is this going to be fleshed out? But again, it's a big question mark as we go ahead.
You mentioned earlier that it's all about developing the North for the Northerners. How does that fit with the interest on behalf of the EU and China and other Asian countries in gaining observer status?
Well, there's two sort of things that this has brought up. And one is just in Canada outlining these policies. There's been some criticism that it's a bit Canadian-centric. There's been some criticisms that Canada's playing to a domestic audience on this, because if we look at, you know, some of the issues facing the Canadian North, it's different from, you know, the North of Sweden or the or Iceland. So there's been a bit of a question, is are these priorities sort of playing to a domestic audience in Canada, or is it really something that is important for the entire circumpolar North? But in terms of observers, this is another very, very interesting and very important thing to watch as we go ahead. Because again, if we're talking about development of the North for Northerners, there's concern among the permanent participants of the Arctic Council, so the Sami Council, the Inuit Circumpolar Council, and the other Indigenous groups that are represented, if all of these people that have made applications to become permanent observers on the council, how is this going to affect the Indigenous voice within the organization? So this is another big question mark as we go ahead about, you know, the Arctic has always been a place sort of built around consensus. That was sort of one of the, you know, the beacons for the Arctic Council when it started. But these issues of the other countries that want in, and how it's going to affect how the Arctic Council works and the voices of the Indigenous people that are living in the Arctic is another thing people are watching very, very closely.
How important in general would you say the Arctic is to Canada and Canadians?
This is a sort of a two-pronged question. The average Canadians in the South, despite all the attention now with climate change and the headlines that the Arctic is gathering, many Canadians in the South still don't have a sense of the Canadian Arctic and who lives there. The distances are so great, and it's, you know, less expensive to fly from Canada to China, for example, than it is to fly to many regions of the North. So few Canadians ever have the opportunity to go there. But on the other side of that, a lot of people, a lot of Canadians have been brought up to identify as Northerners, this idea of a Northern identity. But, you know, the focus the last few years has been a lot of focus on this Arctic sovereignty question. And there's been questions about whether this is really a pressing issue or whether this is just a way to sort of rally people to this idea. And it's something everyone agrees on, this, you know, the Arctic of Canada being this sort of pristine place. But I have to say, and that's one of the other things that we're wondering as we go ahead, if Canada takes chairmanship of the Arctic Council, are Canadians going to, you know, become more educated about the North with Canada holding the chairmanship? Because there's still a lot of misconceptions about the North, and, you know, few Canadians, they never have the chance to go there or even meet Northerners.
Let's go look at the EU just for a second. The EU relationship to the Arctic Council has been a difficult one. The EU and Canada are also negotiating a huge trade agreement. How does all of that fit together? Or do you think that the background of this trade deal will influence Canada's attitude towards giving observer status to the EU?
You know, I'm wondering a lot about this because, you know, this trade deal is something that is really important for Canada. And I would even say it's more important to Canada than it is to the EU. But the EU seal ban has been such a huge issue with Indigenous people here in Canada, around the North as well. And there's even a petition that's being circulated now asking people to sign this petition in Canada to say that until the EU repeals the seal ban, their demand for the Arctic Council observer status is blocked. So this is something that's very, it's getting much more media attention than the trade deal, and it's something that it's sort of gaining steam among Northerners. There's a real anger about, you know, the effect that the seal ban has had in the North. So, I mean, how these two things are balancing out, it's a bit hard to say. The petition, like I said, it's getting a lot of media attention. And, you know, when you have someone like the Inuit Circumpolar Council that has been so vocal on the effects of the seal ban on Inuit communities all through the North, it makes you wonder how, you know, what we're going to see and what would happen if the EU was accepted.
What about China? How do people feel about that?
You know, for China, the sort of the sense I'm getting, there's a lot, it's a lot less fraught with some of these other issues. You know, in talking with experts these last few weeks, sort of as we go up to the meeting next week in Kelowna, there's a sense that the China application might go through. And I think that the, you know, what we're seeing, the importance of China, Singapore, South Korea, there's a big sense now that if we say, if the Arctic Council says no to these countries, well, what next? There was the president of Iceland who has launched this idea of the Arctic Circle Forum. The idea is that it would be a place where, you know, researchers, countries, NGOs could go to talk about the Arctic. And the president of Iceland was a little critical about Arctic governance. But I think it's been a bit of a wake-up call that if the applications to the Arctic Council are denied, are people going to go start a different forum that's going to rival the Arctic Council? So I think it's it's fraught now with a lot of these other currents that are going on. And we'll sort of see, you know, where things end up. But I think this is the question everyone is asking. If you say no, well, what next?